It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. And you have aligned to Wisconsin's newest member of the U.S. House of Representatives. Congressman Tom Tiffany is here. After winning the seat, he vowed to work on getting the economy in northwestern Wisconsin up and running again amid the pandemic. What do you want the congressman to know on Capitol Hill? What priorities do you have in the North Woods that you want heard in Washington? We're at 800-642-1234. Tom Tiffany is a Republican U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, which includes Wausau and Superior. He was elected to Congress last month in a special election following Sean Duffy's resignation in September. He was first elected to the state legislature in 2010, and he resigned from the state Senate last month after winning the congressional seat. Representative Tiffany, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, good to be here, Kate.
So nearly a week ago, you called for Governor Evers to resign after two statues were toppled at the Capitol. A state senator was attacked. How are you feeling now?
Well, if Governor Evers is the most fundamental duty of the governor or any chief executive, and we're seeing it play out across the country with mayors and others who have chosen not to protect the public's health and safety. And after seeing what happened in Madison last week, it seemed clear to me, and I think people from across the state, this is something that I have seen a significant outcry from my constituents saying somebody has to protect what is the public's property here in Wisconsin. When you saw the Hans Christian Hague statue removed, Forward Wisconsin Monument was torn down, a state senator attacked. I think one of the most underreported things is the county facility, the Dane County facility, where they have emergency management that had a Molotov cocktail thrown into it that fortunately, through the quick action of some employees in there, they were able to prevent that from being a disaster. I mean, if Governor Evers is not going to do the fundamental thing, like protecting the public's health and safety at the Capitol, he should move on.
So what further action beyond calling the National Guard, what do you want to see out of him?
So what we saw leading up to this was 2 weeks. I mean, you saw it, Kate. All of you that live in Madison and Dane County, you saw it where State Street was basically was looted, rioted, and significant damage being done there. At the top of State Street is the Capitol. Anyone who is paying attention could see that the Capitol might be the next target. It was too late to do it after the rioters had done their damage. The preparations should have been made prior to that, and the prudent action would have been to be prepared. We were not prepared by the governor.
Do you think that the governor needs to have police, National Guard, more? Do you see more of a police presence? Do you see more arrests? Specifically, what are you asking for?
Well, I would cut the governor a little slack in this regard. What clearly happened that precipitated this was a couple of weeks prior when the mayor of Madison did not take action when she should have. She clearly failed in her duty. But as governor, you saw that play out in front of you, where the mayor of Madison was not doing her job. And because of that, he should have been prepared for state property like the state capitol to be protected. There should have been more preparation put in place.
We're talking with Tom Tiffany. He is a U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, which includes Wausau and Superior. And you can join in with what you want to see happen on Capitol Hill and what you would like to see happen from the Northwoods to Madison. Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Congressman, some protesters are calling for less money to go to police budgets. Defund the police is what we've been hearing. What could be done to respond to this crisis? And what do you think about taking money away from police budgets?
Well, I think that's a decision by local officials. But I think they can be informed by what's going on around the country. Just take a look at Minneapolis now. where their city council was pulling back, saying, we're not going to have a police department anymore. Crime is skyrocketing. And you see that across the country. Chicago, there's been the same call, and it is simply lawless in parts of Chicago at this point. And if people want to see rising crime, then defund the police. Defunding police departments is not the route to go. Reform, yes. What happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis is unacceptable. But that falls on locally elected officials to make sure they take care of that. Because I can tell you, Kate, that I've seen it play out up in our region where there's been a few times when there's been bad cops, that they did not do their job as they should. They abused their authority. Locally elected officials took care of those concerns, had them removed from the force. They need to do the same thing in the cities in our country and in our state.
Would you see a universal ban to the use of chokeholds by police officers?
Well, so I've taken the time to talk to law enforcement here over the last few weeks about what is happening in Wisconsin. And chokeholds are not allowed. They're not trained for here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is, I believe, ahead of the rest of the country in making sure that things like chokeholds are not used. So our law enforcement in Wisconsin has been proactive in making sure that they're using proper policing techniques. But this whole thing that we're going to defund police and basically, for example, take away qualified immunity, we're not going to have any police to protect the public if radical things like that are done.
I want to turn to agriculture and farming, which is a wide swath of your 7th district. How have you seen COVID-19 affecting farmers? What are you hearing?
Well, it's had a great impact. I mean, immediately dairy prices crashed at the start of the virus pandemic. And but the Trump administration has taken very prompt action in talking to people involved with agriculture. The CFAP, the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, has really provided a life support for many people in agriculture. Now, that doesn't last forever, but it's providing that bridge that we hope will get us back to better times once the economy improves. So I think the immediate action by the Trump administration in regards to CFAP has been helpful.
What do you think, though, is the next step for farmers? We have heard of, you know, certainly the dairy industry has suffered so much, bankruptcies leading the nation. What is that next step? How can you help them?
The next step is to get our economy growing. We cannot continue to see the lockdowns across the country, to see where people are not able to engage in commerce. We need to get the economy back and rolling. That's ultimately how you get prosperity. I mean, let's go back to January. We were seeing dairy prices, milk prices were getting back to about $20 a hundred, back to a place where farmers, where they can make a little money, where they can do well, and they see hope. I mean, there really was some optimism after 6 or 7 years of really difficult times, not just for dairy either, for agriculture generally. And we're beginning to see some optimism. And then, of course, what happened with the coronavirus hit, and that has set everyone back. The key is to get our economy back and rolling.
Let's take a call. Now, Matt is joining us from Ashland. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Representative Tiffany. I'm a member of your 7th district, and I would love to hear you comment on the science of climate change and what actions you're going to take to deal with a problem which, in many people's minds, is similar to COVID-19. It's a pandemic. It's a natural phenomenon, but clearly there are experts that are making strong recommendations that we need to do certain things to deal with this. And yeah, I'd like to hear what your plans are specifically, and even if you could comment on H.R. 763, the Carbon Dividend and Reinvestment Act, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Matt. The key thing is not to harm the American economy. I mean, let's be clear here. What is, when I talk to people in regards to climate change, especially young people, one of the main concerns they have is the waste that is out there and making sure that we're as efficient as possible. Well, the number one polluter in the world is China. And in fact, I think a few years ago, I heard an economist speak who said 50% of the air emissions coming into the West Coast, San Francisco in particular, was coming from Southeast Asia. We need to make sure that China complies also, because it really doesn't make any difference what we do if other countries are allowed to continue to put out excessive emissions. So I think one of the key things that I'll be looking at in regards to any proposals in regards to climate change is to make sure that we're not doing harm to America. And remember, we are the one country that has made greater strides than any of the other industrialized countries in reducing the amount of CO2 that we're emitting. And that's largely because we've shifted from natural gas, or shifted to natural gas versus coal with many of our power generating plants.
And we're talking with U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, the newest member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation. How do you feel about the federal response to COVID-19? What do you want Congressman Tiffany to know about your business, about your school, your community? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany right here on the Ideas Network. Morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking with Wisconsin's newest member of Congress, U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, on the line. He was sworn in 6 weeks ago to represent the 7th Congressional District, which covers the most of the northern half of our state. He's one of just two U.S. House members to take office in the middle of the pandemic. Do you live in northern Wisconsin? What do you want to put on the agenda for Congress? How do you want Representative Tiffany to handle constituent concerns? Join in 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Rich now, joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi. I do live in northern Wisconsin, and Representative Tiffany, I do disapprove of vandalism of the state capitol or other properties. However, statistically speaking, Wisconsin's record with regard to its minority or persons of color populations is not great. We incarcerate many more young people of color. We poorly educate them. If you look at real estate values in sectors of Milwaukee or even in Madison, there isn't equity being built up in terms of minority household wealth when compared to what's called mainstream wealth. I'd like you to comment on why Wisconsin is the state that's rated as it is as one of the worst places in the nation to be a black youth.
I think you see the same thing being said about Minneapolis and other cities. I mean, and it's all about opportunity. I mean, if you look at prior to the shutdown of our economy by the coronavirus and the actions that were taken by government, we were seeing significant gains by minority populations over the last couple years, where there was no more businesses being created, minority-owned businesses, as well as the lowest unemployment rate in a long time by minorities. That's why the key thing that we can do is let's get our economy back up and running and growing, because that will benefit minorities more than anything else. I think the other thing is there's a bit of an assumption here that I'm hearing from Rich that this was minorities that were, that they were the primary people that were out there during the protests, riots, and all the rest. when you look at some of the footage, in particular where there was rioting, we all agree it's a protected by the First Amendment that people should be able to protest. Our country has a long, proud tradition of that. But the riots, in many instances, it was primarily white people that were there at those riots. And if you look at some of the footage, you see, especially amongst the Antifa people, the anarchists, many of them are white people. So there should be no assumption here that that was minorities that were leading that were leading riots. I believe it was primarily by white people.
Okay, well, we're going to be, and this is a separate conversation that we could have, but I want to look, before we have to go here, about schools and what reopening looks like. Earlier this month, you and Indiana Representative Jim Banks introduced the Reopen Our Schools Act. What do you want out of this legislation?
To incentivize schools to get reopened. I mean, when you look at it, Kate, we're going to lose a generation of kids here if we have another school closure situation that happens this fall. Clearly, kids lost some education with the closure of the final 3 months of this school year. I mean, I see it. I have a daughter in high school, and the educational attainment was not there. In fact, there's data rolling in now from, for example, Pew. They're showing that 15% of kids across the country do not have internet.
But your legislation would penalize schools that don't reopen. They could lose their fiscal year 2020 funding unless they reopen by September 8th?
Yeah, it's to incentivize to reopen. The American Academy of Pediatrics, just in the last 2 days now, has said there is no reason for schools not to reopen. I mean, we are seeing so much data. There is, from the data I've seen in Wisconsin, no one under the age of 20 has died from the coronavirus. There's no reason for our kids not to go back to school, and we're going to lose a generation if these schools are not reopened.
And I would assume reopened safely. You have teachers who are in close quarters with dozens of students throughout the school day. One in five teachers is over the age of 55. So how do you balance the safety with this need, as you see, to reopen schools and resume education as normal?
Yeah, I believe it can be done safely. I mean, I just take a look at, for example, our grocery stores, pharmacies, and others. They've been open to traffic. They're essential businesses. They've been open throughout this whole period of time, and they have been able to manage it. We're seeing the number of ICU cases and deaths in Wisconsin are going down. What is it, the last two or three days now? No deaths in Wisconsin. And we can manage this. We can manage it in schools also. And good schooling is a priority for all of us in Wisconsin. I know it is for my family. And I believe we can put the protections in place to be able to get our schools reopened.
In order to get schools reopened, schools are asking for federal funding because it's costly to have the precautions in place. Many classrooms would be overcrowded, so you're having to split up students, perhaps a hybrid model between online learning and classroom learning. And as you see local tax revenues plummeting, how do you reconcile that with the funding that is needed to open safely?
Yeah, one of the things that happened with the actions by the federal government and President Trump is there was $2 billion that was given to the state of Wisconsin to be used at the discretion of the governor. The governor has the ability to take some of that money and be able to direct it at schools. And I'm assuming that Governor Evers will do that. So there's already federal assistance that's in the pipeline that they can use for schools if Governor Evers chooses to.
So let's look at mining, and in particular, you've spoken in favor of proposed sulfide mining in Oneida County. Badger Mills Minerals is reportedly finishing up its exploratory drilling there. Where do you see, in this age of COVID, the economy for mining?
Well, we're going to need minerals across the world. I mean, when you look at all of our devices, just I'm on a cell phone right now. Those minerals are something that we have to get. I believe we should get some of them here in North America. We shouldn't just rely on China or countries like in Africa that use child labor to be able to get our minerals. We have the toughest mining law in the United States here in Wisconsin. Plus, we allow for local control of that decision to be able to make, to be made. So I think that combination of having tough regulations, local control, people who will make good decisions to make sure if a mine is built, that it be done responsibly and safely.
Your current term ends in January. You're running for re-election. Would you support efforts to make it easier for people to vote by mail as this pandemic persists?
You know, I think we saw a responsible ruling that came down yesterday by the federal courts where they said that you have up until 2 weeks prior to be able to vote in person, absentee. I think that that was a responsible decision that was made. And I mean, we have a really robust way in which you can register to vote and then to be able to vote. I mean, you can register. You can still register to vote the same, up until the same day and be able to vote in Wisconsin. As the judges said in the decision yesterday, Wisconsin has a very robust means of being able to vote here in Wisconsin. We allow, I believe we have, we give people great ability to be able to vote here in Wisconsin, which is a wonderful thing. We want as many people voting as possible.
Representative Tiffany, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Kate, great to be on. I hope to join you again soon.
Tom Tiffany is a Republican U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. He was elected to Congress last month in a special election, and he's campaigning for re-election this fall. Just ahead, we discussed yesterday's U.S. Supreme Court ruling on abortion law. Stay with us. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.